We sent Nico into the middle of the coronavirus protest in Huntington Beach to find out what was going on down there. Stay with us as we sit down with him and talk about the footage he got and what we are doing with the new 511 Street Team.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 511 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries, and today's episode is a special episode. You see, this last weekend, we've been putting together, let me start from here, we've been putting together what we call the 511 Street Team, because now that the studio is up and running, we are going to start broadcasting 511 News as a video on our YouTube channel, on our Facebook channel, as well as making it available on podcasts. So one of the things that my heart's desire was to find people, and I was praying, Lord, help me to find people that will be able to go on the streets, do some interviews, and get us some good content of people on the streets. And I kept praying about it, and this one fell into my lap, you know, 5 years ago, actually, when he came into my life. But now you guys have heard him. If you're on 511 News, you've heard Nico. He got to share, Nico Hennessy, and he got to share with you guys when we were down in Mexico. We talked a little bit about, I know the audio wasn't the best because we were not in studio. We're on a little mic in a little room at 2 a.m. But nonetheless, I have Nico with me today because I did send him down into Huntington Beach because, hey, with everything going on with COVID, coronavirus, we were seeing some crazy signs down there. But one of the things I was seeing was a ton of people sharing the gospel. From all the pictures I was seeing, a lot of people down there, I'm like, hey, let's get some guys down there to go share the gospel. Let's get some guys down there to do some interviews so that we can use them on 511 News in the future. And I've been looking at them. I have a ton of content to go through so that when Tony allows me to, I will have some videos up for you guys. But we have some good stuff. And before I get into the exact content of what this protest was all about, and Nico's got some really good insight because he was down there, let's just talk about Nico for a little bit. I've known Nico now for 5-6 years, I guess, since he was a freshman in high school. He came in as a wrestler for me, and he ended up doing very, very good. He was the team MVP for us. He was also a two-time state qualifier in wrestling. And if you're in another state, and a lot of the people that listen to this are in another state, California wrestling is a lot different than almost every other state. In fact, it is different than every other state. And that is because we have one state championship. One state championship in all of California. Even if you go over to Nevada, you have 5 of them. I think Texas has like 7. I mean, anywhere you go, you have these multiple state championships. And what happens is we're broken up into sections, and most of those states don't even have as many teams as our section has. We're in what's called the Southern Section. And Nico was the number 2 guy out of over 600 schools in the Southern Section. And he was somebody who didn't wrestle before high school. He just came in and worked his tail off. And so he had his own accolades and all that. But the thing that I know that I'm most proud of when it comes to Nico is the fact that I got to baptize Nico along with Pastor Joe Schimmel. And not only that, I've been able to go out and share the gospel out on the streets with Nico. We've been down in Mexico sharing the gospel with Nico. So he's been highly, highly involved. So maybe, Nico, you give a short synopsis. Let's give the Reader's Digest version of a testimony and maybe why you have a heart for sharing the gospel.
Okay, that's hard to be short, but let's see if I can do it. So yeah, I did come in as a wrestler, and that's how I met Chad. But I mean, wrestling just paled in comparison to, you know, what was the real basis for my relationship with Chad, you know, who I still called coach. And that was ultimately Jesus. That was our foundation, you know, from very early on. And he was just a huge impact in my life, you know, building me up as a young believer, making me recognize how important Christianity was at a young age, how important it was as a high schooler, to be able to grasp Christianity and to be able to just be a strong believer on the campus. And so, you know, long story short, he just, you know, it came down to one moment in Mexico when he really pushed me to just witness to someone on the streets. And I know that changed my life, and it got me coming home, just wanting to be that evangelist and be that person that brings the gospel out. And so I know for the very first time, I did it by my own. I went out and talked to this lady on the street and stuff, and that just kind of started it. And ever since then, I've had the absolute pleasure to be able to serve alongside him, getting out there, bringing the good news to the streets, you know, wherever we are, whatever, you know, country we're in. And yeah, just advancing the kingdom.
You know, and it's really interesting, and I don't know what your guys are like in your area, but I'll tell you this. I have spoken at, I think, about 11 different Fellowship of Christian Athletes groups in the local area, in our Ventura County, even some in LA County, and I've shared my testimony and shared the gospel at these events. And typically, they're in a little classroom. You have about 8 to 10 people. But the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at Simi High School, when I was there and when Nico was helping run it, that one would have over 100 kids at a secular high school. Just incredible. And Nico was a huge reason for that. And, you know, when I was discipling, there was another guy who had went to Simi High, and he was a scholarship athlete for basketball. And I remember the guy who was running FCA, my friend Ray, at the time for the entire area, he said, "Hey, we'd love to get this guy involved." And Austin was a popular kid. A lot of people knew him. But he just wasn't that go-getter in terms of getting out and wanting to just spread the gospel to everyone, because he was a newer believer, and I think he was uncomfortable with some of it. And then he kind of grew into that role as a husband now. But nonetheless, with Nico, because he was able to show the joy of the Lord with so many people, he was able to share with people and get people in the door that normally wouldn't come in the door. And also Trent there, you know, one of your best buds, was obviously so key on all that. And then Nate 14 as well, who, you know, was the originator of FCA at Simi High, because there was no FCA really by the time that I first started there. There was nobody meeting, and I had coached at the Crosstown Rival for 6 years as an assistant coach, and we had nothing there. I mean, just a couple kids that would meet, and then I had kids in our youth group, and they were going to Royal, and they were like, "Yeah, they want to do it before school," and there's like three people, and I'm like, "Well, it's good. You still pray with them. You got two or three. You're able to gather and pray to the Lord." But nonetheless, it's something that just to be able to see it, it was very, very powerful. And you know, God did a great work in those years that you really, as a sophomore, I believe, you really started pouring. Even as a freshman, I think you started in FCA and then really going into those leadership roles from sophomore. And you're still involved. You know, I know you threw out a video the other couple months ago, you know, out to encourage everyone on there. So praise God for that. So I always want to tell you guys about that, because maybe you got kids and, hey, you know, we would love, and in all honesty, I would love if everyone was just homeschooled. That'd be great, but it doesn't always work that way. And there's a lot of kids in secular school, and hey, get involved in these groups. It is awesome if it can be biblical. Don't get me wrong. I've shown up to plenty of FCAs, and you hear somebody share a gospel message that's only half a gospel message, or that's really, if it's half a gospel, it's no gospel. And you're like, come on, guys. Like, that's not you, these. And one thing that always bothered me, and you can ask Nico about this, because I am not one to keep things that simple. I want to challenge people intellectually, because, you know, Nico and the rest of these kids are going to school and they're learning, you know, trigonometry and algebra and geometry, and then they go to youth group on Wednesday and they're like, "Well, let's not get too deep on the doctrine, you know, because we'll lose them and they'll go somewhere." No, get them excited about doctrine. Get them excited about concepts. Get them excited about debating these topics with people. I really believe that those who are in that system, in the public school system, if you are out there fighting the good fight and you are out there sharing your faith, you'll come back glowing. You're going to come back and you're going to know why you believe what you believe, and you're going to want to share it with other people. So with all that said, now, Nico, let's go in. I'll tell a little bit about what I have been praying for with the 511 Street Team. And you can talk a little bit about some of the cool interviews you did. But, you know, with the 511 Street Team, as I said earlier, I really wanted some content. And for some of you guys, I'm going to throw out a couple examples. And I'm not saying we wanted it exactly like that, but a couple examples that I really liked on shows. And I said, man, I'd really love to do this from a Christian perspective. And maybe you guys remember Bill O'Reilly. I was not actually a big fan of Bill O'Reilly, especially because of his Killing Jesus book. I thought he did a terrible job and did not consult with true scholars on the subject, and therefore it was a terrible book. But nonetheless, he had a thing, and now Jesse Waters is well known on Fox News, but he would have what was called Waters World, and he would have people ask questions out on the street. Now, typically, those questions were somewhat demeaning, and they made people look pretty silly on the streets. But nonetheless, I said, I really like that aspect of the show. And then the more common person now involved at PragerU would be Will Witt. And I said, man, I'd really love to have some guys asking questions on the street and bring that and adapt that into the 511 News. And with Nico being so outgoing and wanting to share the gospel, I said, man, this is perfect. And I have my friend Nick as well, who's already, you know, doing some filming for his jobs. He's worked for Google and he's worked at a big pharmacy company out here where he has to film things. And I'm like, wow, these guys are, you know, falling into the lap. All these guys are involved at the Bible study. We're talking about, you know, Islam, and we're talking about soteriology and all these deep doctrines. Are like, we would love to do it, you know, and we'll get Travis out there and Nate out there with you guys too. And those are shout outs for people that we know. So if you guys know who I'm talking about, that's still okay. But you did go down there to the protest. You did see what they were saying. I've had the chance to watch a few interviews. One Jewish guy you shared the gospel with, you did an awesome job. Took him to Isaiah 53, made him understand his need for a savior. I think you had him questioning a lot of things. But though that's me, and I don't want to bury any lead that you're thinking about. But what were some of the interviews? What were some of the feelings? How about in terms of the protesters, before we get anything too spiritual?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, thank God that we were able to get out there. You know, this has been a huge answer to prayer getting down there. But yeah, a lot of interesting conversations. I know it was our first time, so, you know, Lord willing, you could get these clips and stuff, but I know I was nervous, first time out there, but it was so much fun. And so we came down and we went straight to those guys that were out there with the signs, the flags, you know, a lot of their personal agendas that they wanted to voice out on the streets and stuff. And so we were having some conversations and, you know, a lot of talk on the government. And it was interesting because you'd have either two sides, because there was a lot of conservatives out there. Not really any liberals, and the conservatives would either be pro-Trump as the fight for the freedom that has been taken away from them from the left, or they would be conservatives or maybe right-leaning that would be against the government total, and with Trump even as the head of the just the false agenda, or maybe even posing him as the Antichrist and stuff. So a lot of this back and forth and stuff, but we did get a lot of interesting conversations.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And one of the things I think was great as I was looking through them, and I can't wait for you guys to see it, guys, keep emailing us because I'll keep sending them to Tony and saying we need to get into that studio, bro. All right. But yeah, keep emailing us and getting that involved. But one of the things I noticed, and I could see this over and over again in those interviews, is that did you feel as though people were more open to spiritual conversation down there?
Oh, I was honestly blown away, guys, because I've never been approached and asked if I've wanted to be in an interview, and I've obviously never approached anyone to see if they wanted to be interviewed. But out of the maybe 30 people that we asked, or maybe 20 people, about 80 to 90% of them said yes. They even approached us or waved us down. So people were so eager to talk to us and get their opinion out. And share with us they had their opinions, and they were talking about, you know, deep stuff. Even you'll see awesome conversation with younger people and spiritual aspects in younger people, high school kids and stuff, talking about, you know, the coronavirus and all these things.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we just recently did a show on plandemic, because a lot of people were pushing that, and one of the things I worried about, I was concerned about it, trying never to worry, but I was concerned about was, you know, the guy who put it out was this full-blown New Ager. And when I was in high school, and this is one of the reasons I really wanted to tackle that issue, because when I was in high school, I started noticing that some of my friends, this is before I was saved, and then after I was saved, some of the guys that got involved in looking up a lot about the Illuminati or, you know, 9/11, they got so deep down those rabbit trails, that basically it was the government. And the government was this evil entity, but yet objective morality and the fact that we can recognize evil because there's an objective good. There is a law. If there's laws, there's a lawgiver. And they never got it to that process because I believe their conscience bears witness against them. And I believe that they do hate that these people are doing wicked things. And the reason why I was concerned about things like plandemic is because of things like Zeitgeist that came out. And I'm sure you could talk about this a little bit or a lot bit, you know, being in high school where you hear these arguments that people just parrot that they got from some terrible video on YouTube. And I'm always concerned about where the spiritual well-being is of the person that's putting these things out. And so our concern is, hey, this is a great time for believers. Maybe you can give some encouragement on this because you were there and I just watched you again, some guy totally convicted, simply because you said we're from Good Fight Ministries and he's like, oh no, you're a Christian. I need to get right, basically. Yeah. And maybe you could talk a little bit and encourage some people that, hey, there are people wondering what's going to happen. What if this coronavirus, all right, especially think about the liberals right now that are sitting in their houses and they're like, hey, you know, everyone got to stay home. And don't get me wrong, there's some areas where that's probably a good idea, especially in New York and other places. But there, you know, where are they at? And is it a great time, do you think, especially from your experience of being out there, is it a great time to share the gospel?
Yeah. Okay. Well, about the people down there. Guys, there is a lot of people that they're getting their information from these, you know, videos and these sources that they're not checking up, they're not backing up. And so they're just getting flooded with all this information that they'll latch onto and then it will drive their lives. And that's why it's so important for us as Christians is, you know, we have the fixed hope. We have the wisdom of Christ, you know, and we need to get out there and we need to just bring the gospel to them, bring the good news to them because, you know, people, you know, due to the media or due to, you know, even YouTube videos, that they're getting this false information or any of these narratives and it is bringing a lot of fear and worry into their lives. And some people are scared and some people are rethinking their trust in the government and all these things and stuff. And so, you know, we need to be out there and bring the hope that we have, right? And so that's what's so cool about seeing people down there. But guys, while we were in Huntington Beach, there were thousands of people there. And maybe only a couple Christian, you know, witnesses and stuff. And so if you have the opportunity, you know, get out there, share your faith, bring it to someone. You know, people are, we've talked to people who were lost. You know, we talked to one who became an orphan recently, lost both of his parents. And so, you know, he was a younger guy and he was just dealing with a lot of things, you know, dealing with how do I trust the government, you know, spirituality and all these things and stuff. And you know, we were there. We were just honest with them and sharing with them, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's really important. And, you know, it doesn't matter what season it is. The Bible is really clear. In a season, out of season, yeah. We should be preaching, you know, and that's something that should be on all of our hearts. And that's what I'm hoping for some people. And Nico, you could tell them, how old are you?
I'm 19 years old.
He's 19. And Nico has been on, what, 3 or 4 mission trips with me. I know you've gone on some of yours as well. We've gone down to Huntington Beach. You've gone down to Santa Monica. Yeah. Guys, I'm going to tell you this. As an encouragement to you, if there is anything, if you want to light a fire under a young guy or girl's, you know, behind to get them running out there to share the gospel, take them out to share the gospel, right? I mean, when people are sitting on their hands, when believers are sitting on their hands and not doing anything, I think that is so detrimental to their walk. I think it's something that really, really hurts them. And maybe, Nico, Tony, where are we at on time real quick? Because I want him to tell a story, but Nico can be long-winded. All right, we're right at our 10-minute mark. Okay, no problem. And I can too, so I'm always really careful. But Nico, maybe you can tell your favorite story of somebody you shared with down there and how maybe it went, maybe some thoughts you were going through, like, this is pretty crazy, I don't know. Maybe you were nervous, some of your feelings, whatever it was, but let's get one interview down that you could talk about that maybe I'll be able to show here in a couple weeks and encourage you guys with.
All right, one interview down in Huntington, I think that just impacted me the most was, and Nick and I were sitting there and we were debating whether we should charge the phones and get some more information, more material. We've already gotten a lot of clips and stuff. And so, you know, looking for a charger, looking for anything open, that was all shut down. So we thought, okay, you know, maybe we could get one more interview in, which is the battery that we have left, and then we'll be good and we'll get out of there and stuff. And so, you know, that was pressed on our hearts to get down there and just get that one last interview in. And we walked down, and I remember we were walking down and I just saw these two guys laughing with joy, huge smiles on their faces. And I stopped Nick and I'm like, let's go talk to these guys. And we sat down and talked with them. And I know, you know, quickly he wasn't too interested in the coronavirus and stuff and sharing his thoughts on it. And obviously I'm not, you know, the coronavirus, I'm there for, you know, only half the reason, right? I care about a soul, you know, and I want to talk to this guy and stuff. And so we got right into it. This guy used to be an evangelist, used to be out there on the streets, is some of the stuff he was saying, and yet he was backsliding, and he was struggling with, you know, alcoholism, and he had a drink right there, and his buddy too, and stuff, and we just got right into it, and you know, he was pouring out to us, and we were pouring out to him, and I'm like, brother, you know, the scriptures are very clear. You know, you were once a believer, you know, you had a passion, you were out here, and yet you're backsliding, you're falling away from the faith, and you will be judged accordingly, and you need to get right. And he recognized that, and he saw that in us, and he was saying, like, hey, like, and I was telling him, hey, we're about to go, but, you know, God put us right here and to talk to you, and I mean, we just saw in his eyes and his heart, you know, that he's like, well, I need a change, right? Things need to change now. I gotta ditch this life. I need to get right with the Lord now. We were just going at it. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually watched that right before we recorded today. I was like checking out the different clips, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool, because literally you were just trying to get the approval of him, because we're trying to make sure everything's above board here. We want to make sure that, hey, can we use your image, and can we use the dialogue that we're gonna have here? And you're like, do you agree that Good Fight Ministries can use it? He's like, oh no, you know, he kind of had this, oh no, what have I got myself into? He's like, yeah. He's like, I should be out here. I just think about that, where he's sitting there. I should be out here. He knows where he should be, and he knows what he's actually doing. And what's interesting, and this is true, guys, don't get me wrong. Don't think that what I'm saying is don't go out and preach and share in love the truth when people are caught in sin. But I will tell you this, that believers can be, with the Holy Spirit inside them, a fragrant aroma. And I will tell you this, the Holy Spirit in us convicts the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. And when you walked up there and all you basically, you didn't say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm going to do this interview. You just mentioned the word ministry. Yeah. And you could see conviction fall upon this man. And I thought, that is amazing. You haven't even said a word yet, and yet conviction is already setting in. And he knew he needed to get right. And I think there's a lot of times where, guys, look, he said, I had one more thing. We only have this much time. Let's just get one more in. How about you? I only have 15 minutes. This guy in front of me, we're stuck in line, whatever it is. Have a conversation with him. You don't need Zimbabwe when you can have Subway. Every time you leave your house, and for a lot of you, inside of your house, you're at the mission field, okay? You don't need to take a plane far away so that you're not too nervous, all right? And we know that a prophet is not always accepted in his hometown, but nonetheless, get out there and go do something. You know, it didn't take the woman at the well, after Jesus shared with her and he called her out for her sin. Don't let anyone say that he did not. He called her out for living with someone that was not her husband. And notice that she used that in her witness. This man, is he not the Christ? He's the one who told me all of the things that I've done. And yet, what happens? And this is exactly what our job is. And this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 3 as well. And this is the facts. The woman at the well went to Samaria. And what she did was simply told them the information that she had at that time. The information that she had gathered about Jesus at that time, she was willing to share. And then when Jesus came, they said, we no longer have to believe because of you, we now believe because of him. And that is our exact job. And that's what Nico was doing down there. It wasn't necessarily that he's going to come and have every single answer for every single question that anyone can have, even though we all try to study to show ourselves approved. But what it does mean is that he said, I'm going to be faithful with what I've been given. I'm going to be faithful with the marching orders that God has given to me. And ultimately, you and I, Nico, Chad, Tony, Joe, it doesn't matter who you are, none of us saves anybody. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, one plants, one waters, but it's God that causes the growth. So ultimately, guys, when you leave it up to him, it takes a little bit of the pressure off. I know how witnessing is. If you're not praying before you go out and witness, I'm wondering what's wrong with you, right? I wonder where, what space you're in. But I also wonder, it's kind of hard. It's not easy to go out and just share the gospel all the time. It's a lot easier to just hang out and read books, stay in a vacuum, and just talk to your friends who believe the same things as you. It's another thing to go out and fulfill the Great Commission. So with that, you said he, you know, you talked to him. I know you talked to some Tongan Mormons as well and shared with them. And I'm really, really excited to get this out to you guys. I'm really, really excited to have Nico a part of this because this is really important. I want you guys to be encouraged in a way that says, hey, I'm going to take what God's given me. And you know what, Nico, I'm going to give you about a minute, okay? If you could summarize a gospel message in a minute, that's what you got. Go, Nico.
Guys, please, if I can encourage you with anything as believers, do not take your salvation in vain. Do not remain stagnant. Do not remain lukewarm. Take your faith and bring the good news to wherever you can. If there's any way that will microwave your faith, grow your faith, that is bringing the word to the streets, every single one, as Chad just said, is qualified to bring the news that God came and he humbled himself even to the point of death and death on the cross. And how great are we for our salvation? How great is salvation? And we need to bring that to others.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Jesus Christ, he died for you according to the scriptures. He rose again according to the scriptures on the third day, by the way. We just did an episode of that on Typology Tuesday. And guys, he did all that on our behalf. How can we, not only, if you're not saved yet, how do you neglect so great a salvation? The God of the universe stepping into time, space, and matter, becoming a man. And you were quoting Philippians 2, the hymn of Christ, one of the earliest Christian creeds. And what it basically says, and a lot of people believe it's actually an Aramaic song, if you look at it, and just early on in Christianity. And it, like you said, he humbled himself, and it tells us to have this manner. That should be us. We should remember this. We should stay humble and look at the fact that God became a man. It says he made himself a little lower than the angels, and it keeps building. Not only did he make himself a little lower than the angels, he became a servant. Not only became a servant, he died. Not only did he die, but he died the shameful, naked death on a cross. And that's what he did to provide salvation for us. When people wonder if God loves them, when people wonder, you know, I don't know, I've been so bad, I've done this, I've done that. Remember that the God of the universe did not even withhold his own son on your behalf. And it says in Acts 20:28 that God himself purchased the church with his own blood. And I hope you guys have been encouraged today by Nico's story. I hope you guys will be encouraged by 511 News going into the video realm, as I keep encouraging Tony, because we're going to get ourselves in there. And I wanted to thank you, Nico, and I hope you have a blessed rest of the week, and we'll get you back on the street soon enough.
Amen. Thank you, guys.
Praise the Lord.
The 511 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 511 News.